Good morning. It's Thursday, April 6th. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 Vancouver's community radio station, CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, we'll be going down my path. If you'd like to call in, the number 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. I'd like to remind you that we are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. I don't know if you've never listened to the show before. What we like to do here for the next hour, I like to talk about things that I care about. We talk a little bit of Canadian news, some national news, some funny things. Sometimes I have some funny guests in here. Sometimes I'm here by myself. Today, I have a friend who pulled an all-nighter, so Rachel is in the studio. Not sure if Rachel will be talking. However, we'll be listening. So we have one listener guaranteed. In the beginning, we like to go over the weather. We're back in the time where it is perpetually cloudy and rainy for the next 14 days until the April 17th. There isn't a day with less than a 60% chance of precipitation. However, it should be noted that it is kind of warm. It will stay warm. We have a full show for you today. We're talking about lots of things from the LPGA Tour, which you'd probably never think you'd hear on this show, to some Canadian senators' comments, to talk about housing, but not in Vancouver. And then we'll just talk about some funny stuff. I think last week I promised an interview we'd air, but I don't think we'll have enough time today. So if you want to listen to that, it will be next week. And for the next couple of weeks, we have some really cool interviews lined up. I got to talk to some brethren from the States. They have lots of things going on. What you're listening to was why you would not know who that was. However, if you do not, that was George Clinton. We got the funk because I feel like on Thursday morning everybody needs a little bit of funk in their day. So I figured we should just get started with just some national news. And national here in Canada, it means you're talking about housing. So I was watching the news. I watched pretty much the entire news cycle yesterday for the CBC, which is surprisingly I mean, I don't want to talk bad about the CBC news, but I don't think it's very well done. However, they did have an interesting segment on the Toronto housing market. Particularly, we talk about the Vancouver housing market here all the time and about how people are just not able to find housing, or their rent is issues, or the rent evictions. And I guess there was a study done, and year over year compared to last year, pricing has increased 33% in Toronto, which is pretty similar to what's going on here in Vancouver. And so people are also feeling the squeeze there. And I guess to translate into some of the same issues as like young people not being able to settle in neighborhoods that they've historically been able to settle in, or just, settle, period, or make friends or build communities or start families. And so it was really interesting to think about, what does that really look like? And so they had Paul Smentian from the Center of Economic Research here in Canada. And he said that's like 25 years of construction. There's over 5 million spare bedrooms, or 5 million unoccupied bedrooms. And compare that to the 40,000 unoccupied units here in Vancouver. Now, those are units compared to bedrooms, so I'm not really particularly sure about how it translates, but it just seems like there's just a lot of housing that's not being gone to use. And when we talk about the amount of housing not being able to be used in Vancouver, when we only have, 35, now when I say only, not only, but we have 3,500 homeless people, and there's 40,000 unoccupied units like apartments or houses or just rooms, and the numbers just are just so ridiculous that, you know, it gives you pause. It's like, okay, well, who's buying these houses, and how can we remedy the situation to make it fit for everybody? So I thought the story was most interesting because it's when people here in Vancouver complain about housing, one, about it being particularly expensive. Listen, like me, I'm from Washington, D.C., and it's not unusual to pay $1,500, $1,600 for a real trash one-bedroom apartment. So here, I don't think that the housing particularly is it that it's expensive. It's just that it feels inaccessible. And at least when you pay $1,600 a month for an apartment in D.C., you feel like you can live in it for, you know, as long as you can afford it. But here, your landlord they sell houses every day, B, and you can be evicted every day. So, moving on. I guess here in Canada, we like to look at some of the issues down south and point our finger. And so I do this too because I feel like that I'm a resident Canadian now, even though legal status, I'm still American. But it just came out also that the RCMP, and if you don't know what the RCMP is, I think that's just the federal police. I guess maybe it's like sheriffs or similar to the states. But the RCMP can actually track your cell phone through metadata, and they've been doing it for over a decade. So a few weeks ago, we talked about how privacy was being lifted, particularly in the states, and how this is becoming increasingly an issue. And not just an issue, but it's to at what ends can people track information. And last week with the lift of, I have to look it up to be more specific, but we know, everybody knows what we're talking about. So with the lift of that ISP protection, so people can track not just your internet profile, but they can actually track you and attach your name to it, and then they can sell it to whoever can afford it. So it doesn't have to be a governmental agency to actually buy this data. And so what we've actually seen is that the RCMP is actually, they collect metadata. They say that they don't use emails, texts, phone calls. They don't track that information. However, they do track where you go, and they can track pretty much that if you, like what day you go to the grocery store. They can track if you're a regular church goer. I think on the news they said they can track if you are cheating on your spouse. So beware. If you're up at 7, leaving your side chick's crib, and you're on your way to work, just understand that, like, maybe your wife works for the RCMP, and maybe she can track where you're going. So you need to be careful if you have listened to the show, and you heard last week, you'll know about Uber Pay. And listen, I am out here for everybody doing whatever they want. Not whatever they want. I lied. I think that you should do whatever you want in a reasonable fashion and be able to, you know, live your life how you want it. But that includes, keeping yourself safe. And so understand that you could possibly be tracked, and the RCMP is doing it. So the Canadian government, not that much better than the United States. Like, I'm not riding for the United States. But everybody's bad. That's basically the vibe that I get. In the next segment, we're going to be talking a little bit about Senator Bayek. I don't know if you know who that is. She used to be on the Standing Committee for Aboriginal People, and I'm going to tell you why she is not. Stay tuned.
You got friends. Tune in every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. for the Community Living Show. Join hosts Michael, Kelly, and friends every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. Because you've got a friend in community living and CITR.
This year's Fun Drive theme is Shape Your Media, and the March issue of Discorder explores what independent media means to us. Cantlit is a podcast that gives a platform to new wave of canlit. We dissect fake news from the perspective of a journalism student. Holy Hum and Angela of Susu question their roles in resistance. And one writer calls out Pitchfork's latest opinion piece, "Does college radio even matter anymore?"
Of course.
Fuck yeah.
Yes. Thanks to this month's advertisers, Live Van, the UBC AMS, Flex Your Head, the Rickshaw Theater, Timber Concerts, the Spring Record Convention, the Rio Theater, Karaoke Music Video, the Wise Hall, and Neptune Records. Pick up one around town or read online at CITR.ca.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support.
Yeah. Six ain't fucking. Yeah. Look. Yeah, working till like six ain't fucking them. He that nigga, fuck with him. He that nigga, you should fuck with him. Yeah, working till like six ain't fucking them.
Content warning. This song's got cuss words in it.
Listen off the rip. I ain't never change a bit. Still rock that polo fit with the ones or the tens. Yeah, Griffey off the bench, nigga. All I make is hits. Bitch ain't had no time for me. Now I ain't got no time for a bitch. Yeah, she say how you make your money. All these questions. I don't talk real tight at the lip. I hope you is too good. Yeah, spit like 30 in a clip. Yeah. I need 30 on the wrist. Yeah. 30 like my name Steph. Yeah. Young niggas tryna get rich. Yeah. Money won't make me switch. Nah, how my main nigga switch, huh? Shit wasn't even by the grip. Dog, how my main nigga flip, dog. Yeah. Look, I ain't with the extra shit. Work like Rihanna and his bitch. Shout out my Rihanna looking bitch, dog. Yeah. Oh my, I've been doing me, what you saying?
What you saying?
Yeah. I'm getting to this money, said I go away. Hey, I'm getting to this money, said I go away. It's like six in the A. Yeah. Yeah. Working till like six ain't fucking them.
You back with All the Being Pass. I'm your host, East Aaron. Here on 101.9 CITR. Vancouver's community radio station. That was Vancouver's own Seth K. If you like to hear hip-hop here, Canadian hip-hop, particularly new hip-hop, probably things you never heard, you can listen to me and my homies, the Troop, Homeboy Jules, Relly Rels, Jamal Steele's Horsepower, and Lucky Rich on Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Pacific. The only place in all of Canada who plays uncensored hip-hop. That might not be true, but it's the only place you should listen to it. So, going into the next story, if you do not know who Lindsay Byack is, she is a senator from Northern Ontario, and she used to be on the Standing Committee for Aboriginal People, and she was recently asked to resign for some comments that she had last week, and comments that she doubled down on. Now, when I really wanted to talk about this story, I saw what she said, and listen, what she said was. She's talking about residential schools, and if you're listening, you never listen to you don't know what a residential school is. Residential schools were here in Canada, where they would send First Nations children sometimes away from their family for years and years. And they have a long, long history from, like, it's the 1840s. I think the last residential school closed in 1996. And it's just a history of a tremendous amount of abuse. And they did things like, put razor blades in children's mouth when they would speak their native language. And there's sexual abuse and physical abuse too. It's absolutely terrible. And so Senator Bayek, she had some comments where she basically just said, you know, although the residential schools have an extremely awful history, there was some good about it. And so she even reiterated some of the old tropes that I'm familiar with, like, you know, well, they taught Christianity and that was good. And I've been involved since I was 15 with an Aboriginal fellow, and even though they're my friends and they spoke at my husband's funeral, and, you know, all of these common tropes. And so what I wanted to do, and so basically she was asked to resign from the Standing Committee on Aboriginal Issues. And so I like to look at some of these comments more in the context of where it was said. So this week, if you hadn't known, has been the debates for conservative leadership here in Canada. And so I guess that's a time where the party gets together and they talk about, basically the party gets together and they debate amongst themselves about the people who are going to represent the party and in what aspects. Because here in Canada, you have more than just two parties. So she basically, in a comment 2 days ago, she doubled down and said, you know, there's two sides to every story. We have hundreds and hundreds of letters of people who, you know, thank us for saying what they said. And basically, it's just still defending her comments. Now, while terrible, I think it's important that you look into what it is, what the context is. And so she was particularly talking about auditing the funds that were, you know, that are given to First Nations communities every year. And so she wanted to go through, and honestly, I feel like that her comments on residential schools were unnecessary to her point. I don't think that they helped make her point, her point being that funds need to be audited to make sure that they are actually getting to the people who need the money the most. And, you know, like some other things we'll talk about later on the show, she completely missed. And then doubled down on that miss, which I feel like is a common theme. She was asked to resign this week, which she has said she will not do. But I just think that it's a lesson, not just because that, listen, you need to watch the horrible things that you say, but also that we need to make sure that you don't just get this microwave anger. So like looking through the transcript, which you'll be able to find linked to the show when the show is complete. You'll actually be able to read everything that she's talking about. So basically in Ontario, there is a block. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you, I know exactly what that means, but I'm just going to guess a block is something, let's call it a bridge, that is named after what some senators said was the architect of these residential schools. And so how she got into talking about it was actually saying that, like, one, he wasn't the architect because he wasn't born when when the schools were started 40 years before his birth, and that she thinks that it's irrelevant and a waste of money to rename this block, bridge, street. I'm not really sure. Or what it's called, but I can understand. That it's a waste of time. Like, we're not going to rename Washington D.C. because George Washington had slaves. Like, people just are not going to do that. People are just not here for renaming or anything, or George Washington University, or anything with any of the presidents who owned slaves. We're not going to take them off of the money. That's just something that I have. Listen, we just all know that nobody's going that far. Nobody cares, but you give me a dollar and I'm gonna put it in my pocket. I'm not gonna reject it because it's got George Washington's face on it. And so she thinks that the money should be spent elsewhere, particularly in auditing. And she talked about in her second comment, she was talking about how residential schools have done good, and there's not enough of those stories shared. And she's like, yeah, they were a little bad, but I feel like that would be like saying slavery taught people work ethic. And yeah, look at the success stories that came out of slavery and, you know, and other awful institutions. Like, ooh, yeah, during segregation, you know what was really good about segregation? We got black businesses and black communities, and without segregation, we wouldn't have that. And that's just not true. So, like, it's a dangerous game when these people who, let's just call them the people who don't eat chicken properly. I feel like that's a good way to explain everybody who I'm talking about. These people... You can't get into a game where you're talking about what is good about this horrible, horrible institution that you would have never, ever been exposed to. Like, no matter what time period you were born in, you would have never been taken to a residential school, and you would never have been subjected to this abuse. And if you read about residential schools, about how they used to lock them in the dorms and not let them speak languages, and they I think it said during the earliest part of the during the earliest part of the 20th century, tuberculosis rates in general public were like 100 out of 100,000, and then if you look at in the residential schools, it's like 14,000 out of 100,000. It's so crazy the amount of I guess like terror permitted by these schools. And then we're not just talking about how the missionaries work within this. We understand missionaries and colonialism. I feel like when we talk about missionaries, we think about colonialism in Africa and South America and what that looked like. But I feel like we rarely think about missionaries in First Nations communities, and it's pretty much the same. It's all of the same system, and there's so many similarities, so that when we talk about these things, and particularly talk about residential schools, someone who didn't experience that or never would have been exposed to that probably shouldn't talk about how much good that they did or how much good that they brought. What she did invoke was an individual who let me find his name. Hold on. She did invoke a... Sorry about this, guys. My computer is timing out. Famous Cree storyteller Thompson Highway, he talks about how he was in a residential school for 9 years, and talked about some positive stuff. He says without it, he wouldn't have an international career. He's a novelist, a playwright, and a classical pianist. And he talks about how the negative aspects, but also talks about how he personally wouldn't be where he was without it. And like, I feel like these stories are held up in all types of marginalized communities where, you know, there's always one guy or one woman who makes it, and then all of the other negative stuff, you know, is worth it because you, one individual, were given the opportunity to move quote unquote forward. And so she just talks about how little negative feedback he receives from the indigenous community, but then talks about like how he also really takes seriously the trauma, and he worked as a social worker, and he works with inmates and other things. And it's just this: the story was brought up to Senator Vaik about how there are a disproportionately large amount of indigenous women in Canada's prisons, and just like we have a similar problem in the States. And I feel that she could have made that point a lot better, but she didn't. So she was removed from the Aboriginal community. And it, I guess, and it just speaks that like she was on the Aboriginal committee to begin with. So we have to remember that just because we have these types of committees which are supposed to protect these marginalized people, that some of these people are in there with the same mentality that started these residential schools in the beginning. This idea that people need to be civilized and people need Christianity and these people are savages, and without us, they couldn't be brought into this modern era. And so with the rhetoric like, listen, look at all the good we've done, it's pretty much the same narrative. Now, when you come back, we'll be talking about how these ad campaigns and these large multinational corporations continue to miss the mark, and why they should hire me to help them.
Way that you look at me when she dripping wet out of the shower. It's the way that you touch on me got me so high up in the clouds, yeah. Hard to quit, gone off your love, it's so hard to quit. I'd do forever if it stays like this. So baby, stay like this. Ooh. Picture perfect silhouette, I can't believe it's you right there. I think I'm keeping you right there. Oh, I need you like skin on my bones, baby. I need you like the lid on my eyes to cover the sun. I need you like air in my lungs, yeah. The list goes on and on and on and on. On and on and on. I need you desperately. Oh. Your hand on my chest right after a rough day. It's the way that you hold me close, let me know it's gonna be okay. Cause you're hard to quit, gonna be loving song. I'd do forever if it stays like this. So baby, stay like this. Oh, bitch, perfect silhouette, I can't believe it's you right there. I think I'm keeping you right there. On and on and on, I need you desperately.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on Vancouver's community radio station, 101.9 CITR. Off the Beaten Path, I'm your host, East Arian. We have Rachel in the studio. And I wanted to get into this Pepsi commercial. If you haven't seen it yesterday, you will not, because they snatched it off of everywhere except for Twitter. They can't take it off Twitter because we own Twitter. The people own Twitter. And the people own the memes. Mm-hmm. And so what, if you haven't seen it, it was basically Kendall Jenner is in a photo shoot and she sees this protest going on. So she takes off her blonde wig, tosses it at this older black woman, storms off, gets into the protest, you know, with all of the people like, you know, cheering like, yeah, protest, like. You know, I think I saw a protest is the new brunch sign in there. I saw a dude with cornrows. Now, his waves weren't as good as Lance Stevenson's, but the straight backs. And then so she ends up going to the front of the protest. And while the police are standing there, not in riot gear, which I felt like was the most shocking part to me. And then she gives the police officer a Pepsi and he's like, he drinks a drink of the Pepsi and is pretty satisfied. Now, all the cops I've seen would have been satisfied that this girl was just walking up to them, because I'm not going to say cops, you know, that's what they're into. But, you know, I mean, we all know some cops and we've seen them before. And listen, you know, they don't get approached like that too often, at least not in front of me. And Pepsi felt like, man, this was a good ass idea. And they were like, this is $2 million well spent. Now, it's very interesting because we are in a era where people are particularly of the younger generation, so when like 30 and under, we pretty much expect brands to have a stance on something. And I really feel like that stems from the importance that we place on our environment in the most recent, like that's like the number one thing. So, but that like trickles into all of these other social issues. Like, when you think about like human rights, you know, environment is just one of them. So, we talk about protests for human rights, and Pepsi felt that they could, you know, I don't really feel like Pepsi felt like they could solve it, but they felt like we want to be a part of this. We want to take advantage of this sentiment among this younger crowd. And first off, Pepsi is disgusting. So, like, if you drink Pepsi and you listen to this show, just cut it off, because you're probably not the type of person I want to hang out with anyways. I don't like to drink soda too much, but who doesn't drink Coke? Like, who prefers Pepsi? Like, I feel like if I gave a cop a Pepsi, I'm getting Dr. Pepper back. So, but we can see, like, the problem is that, like, so I was watching CBC News yesterday, and for 6 hours, I guess it was, like, they really play only four, on the Global News Channel, they really only play four stories, and they just keep going over them over and over and over. They bring different people on there to talk about them. And the one thing I really noticed was that everybody that they brought on the radio to talk about, I mean, everybody they brought on the TV to talk about the Pepsi ad was over 50 and were white marketing experts. Like, and they were all dudes. So men over 50, white dudes, all marketing experts. Now, I'm guaranteed that that's exactly who was in the Pepsi boardroom, the marketing room, when they made that decision. Like, oh, you know what we got to get a Jenner. We need a Jenner in there. Kylie, she's too crazy. Cuz even the CBC radio host couldn't determine that wasn't Kylie Jenner, because I feel like I've never actually seen an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but I know the difference between Kylie and Kendall Jenner. I feel like I don't know what is actually different about them, besides the fact that Kylie dates Tyga, and I only know what Tiger looks like because he's funny looking. So, like, you know, he kind of looks like Jar Jar Binks. And so, like, if you, so you're like, oh, yeah, the Kardashian or the Jenner that's with Jar Jar Binks, you're like, okay, that's Kylie. Okay, but anyways, so these dudes didn't know who that, they didn't know who she was in the first place. And then so, when you think about it, that's the problem that they have. So they finally got a black dude on there, a BuzzFeed editor, and I feel like they must have grabbed him from, they were like, you know, probably looking around the offices in Toronto like, oh, holy smokes, pull black people off the street. The first one that works at a journalism company, bring him in. Because they only gave him 12 seconds to talk. I thought that that was also an issue. But basically, these experts, these marketing experts, are talking about why Pepsi failed. And why, and some dude was saying how why Pepsi won. Like, this is a win for Pepsi because look at all the publicity they're getting. Come on, dog. Nobody drinks Pepsi. I feel like the only time you see Pepsi is in restaurants, shitty restaurants, excuse my language, and stadiums. Do you have anything to say, Rachel?
About the commercial?
Yeah, what do you think about the commercial?
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't have a better way to put this, but I think it was really tone deaf in terms of the commentary they're trying to make. I think activism is like sexy now, and so people are trying to, or not people necessarily, but corporations are trying to hop on that activism train, like, oh, we're all for it. And you see that too with, like, this is more of a side note, but you see that with corporations, like, I think Chipotle did this, we're like, we're down with LGBTQ plus people, so we're gonna put rainbows on our stuff. And like Nando's did that too. And yeah, it really waters down the activist community and what they're trying to do. So I think Pepsi tried to do the same thing, but really got it wrong. But you know what's hilarious is that other companies started to throw shade like at Pepsi. And for example, like SodaStream, I think the CEO of SodaStream was like, oh yeah, Pepsi, this was such a bad move. You look so bad. This is disappointing. We're not about this. And it was wild. Truly wild.
Yeah. So I've taken this opportunity, Pepsi, if you're listening, to start a company. Listen, all you have to do, I'll screen all of your advertisements, all of your outgoing, you know, paraphernalia, and listen, I'll make sure that it at least won't be, you won't have to take it down, because $2 million is a lot of money to waste. You could have paid me half that, and I would have told you, hey, dog, this ain't a good idea. And you know what? You would have saved $1 million, and we'd all be better off. Yeah, but just speaking to the tone deafness of the advertisement, or these big, large corporations really trying to capitalize, because we live in this capitalistic society where trends is really what can gets people to buy things. So the problem is that, like, there's a lot of these terrible chicken eaters who go to these protests who absolutely see nothing wrong with the Pepsi ad. They're like, what are you talking about? I don't see anything wrong, because they identify with, listen, we got to find the easy solution for these human rights problems. And, you know, so I think that we really need to be mindful of that, because there is a chance that there are young people in Pepsi's marketing department who did okay this. We for certain know that those people, if their voices are heard, were not, they looked exactly like you probably think that you look. I'm gonna say, or they think exactly how you probably think. And the people who probably, I'm sure there had to be, I feel like there just had to be somebody in Pepsi's marketing department who said no, and they were ignored, and be like, listen, you don't know what you're talking about. This is gonna be a hit. We got a Jenner in it. She's pretty much black because her family is Armenian. And, you know, Armenians not, like, really white. They're, like, you know, kind of on the pro. I feel like there's somebody, and they could have saved a lot of money. But also, it speaks to, like, I guess Nivea also had an issue this week, because they had to pull an ad where they were selling Nivea. If you don't know Nivea, they're this German-based company. They sell skincare products. And one of their ads said white is purity, and it was for like some lotion or something. And that was actually an ad that was only in the like Arab market. So like what these companies have to understand is like not only are their ads going to be scrutinized, but they're going to be scrutinized in areas that they would never have thought they'd be scrutinized in because of the accessibility of the internet. And just like the rapid speed, like I would never have seen that Kendall Jenner ad on TV because I don't actually own a TV or watch cable very much. And like that ad for Nivea, I would have never seen that had because it was only marketed in this Arab region. However, Nivea continues to sell a skin whitening cream. They sell multiple skin whitening creams. There's so many skin whitening creams on the market in Arab nations, in Southern Asia and in East Asia, and even in Africa and the Caribbean. It's just like skin whitening is a problem. And it stems from this idea that white is purity and white is better. And so these companies that, you know, that they have to understand that they only have so much of a place. And even when you want to, let's say Pepsi was 100% genuine in the idea that they felt that they needed to say something about protesting or about human rights, you don't do it in that way of the communicating through this advertisement of just giving a cop a Pepsi and everything's going to be all right. Because what we saw in Baltimore and what we've seen across the United States is that when the police show up at a protest, listen, you can't even see their face because they show up looking like RoboCop. So, and I feel like if you reach for a Pepsi, police officers might put they might put some bullets in you because we've seen it before. And we're not going to say that they're going to put like bullets, like real lead bullets, but they will definitely put rubber bullets. And we've seen that on camera. We've also seen police on camera put lead bullets in people. Pepsi just needs to do better. And they can do better if they particularly not only just hire some people who have more common sense, hire some people of color in your marketing departments. And then once you hire them, listen to them. Because they will save you some money in the future. When we come back, we'll be talking. We're going to be talking about Krispy Kreme. And this might brighten your day, particularly if you live anywhere near a Panera Bread.
We guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah, 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 blah. Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at CITR. So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
I knew I had a problem.
I tried counting calories, eating and eating.
Nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web at OA.org.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. worked with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
$1 billion. The question is, who let the dogs out?
CITR Radio 101.9 FM, Discorder Magazine, and Mint Records present Hot Dog Days. It's a monthly concert and video series at What's Up Hot Dog featuring local acts, good food, pinball, and high fives. Admission is free and there will be hot dogs. The first edition is Tuesday, April 11th, featuring Be Afraid and the Shit Talkers. Hot dog. Hot dog. 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 Hot dog.
Is it unusual? 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 When you stuck up, filled up with leaning it backwards, yeah. With the cookie crumbs all rolled up in it, we pour up. Celebrate, cause we keep on winning. Gucci den on, yeah, yeah, that's how I'm feeling. Yeah, yeah, that's how I'm feeling. Yeah, yeah. Slow, the foreign and UFO. I'm far from the friend zone. Yeah, I gotta run it up. Yeah, I gotta run them up. Yeah, I gotta keep it tough. Yeah, I gotta double up. So she gon' keep it real for me. Every night a strip show, let me sip slow. Let me take my time before I dive in it. I'm an ape out to bathe in the lake. I'm a beat up the box till it break. Guarantee that you know I'm okay.
You're back with Off the Beam Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Here on Vancouver's community radio station. So we talked a little bit last segment about what Pepsi could have done better. And so came up with a list of names. My listeners started off with maybe they should have got Beyonce. It would have been a little more believable. We're trying to think of what would have been more believable than Kendall Jenner. Not only more believable, but what would have been more, would have seemed a little more authentic. You know, like, not only did she just not have to give the can. Like, I feel like giving the can was the thing that really pissed people off. Like, had she had just, like, stood in the crowd and then the Pepsi symbol came up, people would have been like, it's kind of shitty, but okay, I can dig it. Like, you know, Pepsi is at least aware that these protests are going on. But, like, I think it was really the can that was given. But, like, they could have had Beyonce would have been more believable. Could have had Oprah. They could have got Rihanna. Could have got Willow Smith. Maybe they could have, you know, maybe they could have got the actual Black Lives Matter woman. They could have picked any of them. They could have got D-Ray. They could have got anybody. They could have got, like, almost anybody. But that's who they went with. It's crazy. So if you'd actually, if you want to call in and give me someone who you think should have been chosen for that lead spot in the Pepsi commercial. The number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. What you're just listening to was Jimmy Prime. He, not Drake, was actually the person who coined the term the six for Toronto, if you didn't know that. So this is the segment we like to go over, just like, you know, some more of the funny and interesting stuff, because we like to get out of the heavy stuff so that you can start your weekend off if you're in Vancouver. Even though it's rainy, you can start off with a little bit of jokes. Krispy Kreme is buying Panera Bread for $7 billion. Now, hopefully, if you've ever eaten at Panera Bread, you know, like, no, the sandwiches are really good, but the pastries, they could use some work. But maybe just maybe they'll start to get Krispy Kremes in there. And so if you live near Panera Bread, you can actually maybe start to get Krispy Kremes in the morning. And you don't have to drive all the way to where you see the signs. But you still might want to go get those hot Krispy Kremes because them things are bangers. And if anybody's had a Krispy Kreme right off of the rack as it comes out of the oven, woo! Listen, I don't know anybody who doesn't like Krispy Kremes. And if I did, I wouldn't trust them. So yesterday, we had a very interesting conversation with some of my friends, because so Barry Manilow came out as being gay. While not like the most surprising thing I've ever heard, that's like not. It's some people who feel like that coming out is like not a big deal anymore, or it is a big deal anymore. Like I feel that like no matter when you do it, or no matter how many people you think already think that they know this about you, or it still has to be a big deal, because people, we see that the Dutch couple in the Netherlands was beat up. These two dudes were beat up for holding hands, and so we see like as people still getting beat up all over the world, and people's reaction to people's overt or just like out homosexuality, we see that it continues to be a big deal. And so I feel that it should never be like trivialized or minimized that someone is coming out. So that's a reminder that like you hear like when Ricky Martin, I think he came out and people are like, yeah, dog, we've watched your music videos. Like we know, like, I don't feel like that's the stance that, you should be taking. I feel like we should continue to support and congratulate these people, no matter how famous they are or no matter how non-famous they are, because it's got to be tough even when everybody knows it. And so I think that's we have a few more minutes. So if you watch Thursday Night Football, which I don't know many people who do because those games are always trash, it's interesting that I didn't even know that. So Twitter owned Thursday Night Football last year, and they bought it for $10 million. Like, why do these companies continue to waste all of this money? I don't understand. They bought it for $10 million. They bought the rights so that they could show these Thursday night games, I guess, on your cell phone. And they lost it to Amazon Prime. I guess Amazon was bidding against Facebook and YouTube for the rights to show these Thursday night games. And I feel that Amazon is probably the right person to buy it. Like I when I think about it, and you think of like Twitter and Twitter just like hemorrhaging users, and the idea of Twitter as relevancy and like as profitability is being seen as like not good. So when the people who do the strategy for Twitter had made this idea to like buy these rights for this game, did they actually think that people were going to watch football on their cell phones? Because I could have told them that wasn't a good idea. Like, I feel like lots of these ideas, people could pay me way, way, way less than they do to make these type of decisions. Like, hey, dog, I don't think that that $10 million would be well spent. You know, that's just probably how I talk in the boardroom. Hey, that's not a good idea, my brother. I think that you should just let that opportunity pass. But Amazon Prime, I guess, picked it up. And if you continue want to watch these games with those ugly jerseys, be my guest. Trying to. Oh, yeah. So speaking of sports, I don't know if you watch the LPGA Tour, but I guess Lexi Thompson, she is a really, really good female golfer. And she was given a 4-stroke penalty because a individual called in and snitched on her, pretty much. Said that she cheated, and then she was given a penalty. Now, golf fans are exactly the type of people who I would expect to call in and snitch on some rules. I feel like if you watch golf, I don't care. Even if golf's not your favorite sport, if you're watching golf on TV, you're probably a snitch. You probably call people and get their cars towed when they park in front of your house. And everybody probably hates you. And I feel like that's just a silly rule that golf should probably change. Because, like, why do people feel like that they should be involved in everything? You know, I feel like we live in this democratic society where people feel like everybody their opinion always matters. And, like, sometimes your opinion doesn't. And being right isn't enough. I feel like that people get on this high horse where they think that just because they're right means that their voice should be heard all the time. I feel like if you've ever lived in a house like mine, being right isn't enough of anything to say anything, because you can still get that ass whooped and being right won't save you. Now, that's been the hour. I appreciate you guys for staying tuned with me. If you'd like to hear the track list, you can find it on CITR.ca, and you can find me at Spoonie_love. That's Spoonie underscore love on Twitter and Instagram. I really thank you for following me down my path. Stay tuned for some updates, as this weekend I'm making a Facebook page and I'm posting all of the episodes and some videos we've made and some of the interviews that I've done. Appreciate it.